Amen. Real Christianity is marked by the pureness, by the holiness of the thoughts of man. And if Christianity, the kind you have, does not produce in your mind real holiness, real purity, real sweetness, real truth, then it's a poor brand. Change it right away. Beloved, there is relief from such. There is a way of salvation, and it is in the submission of that mind to the Lord Jesus to be remolded by the Holy Spirit so that the mind becomes the pure channel of a holy nature. We who profess to know the living God, who profess to live in union with Him, ought to present to the world that attitude of mind, that pureness of mind, that holiness of mind, which needs no recommendation. The people know it, they feel it, they smell it, they know it is the mind of Christ. Possessing the mind of Christ and all the mind of Christ. And then we'll pray now. Father God, I praise you and I glorify you, Lord, for your son Jesus, who you sent to the cross for us, Father. And Lord, I ask and I pray that you help us to surrender our whole self, our whole absolute self to you, Father God. And that nothing else matters but you, Father. Nothing else matters but you. And I ask and I pray, Father God, that tonight that you would lead us all into that realm of understanding what the holiness is. And I thank you for it, Father. And I ask and I pray for my brothers and sisters out there that they would want the same wherewithal to run after you with all their hearts, Lord. And in me too, Lord. And I thank you for doing that for us tonight. I thank you, Lord, for this open heaven that we have. And I praise you, Father, for a Holy Ghost-filled night tonight, that your glory would come down and your holiness would be evident to all of us. And I praise you for all the work that you're going to do in each and every one of us tonight. In Jesus' name, let your love permeate everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. All right. Has anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Nick.
Yeah, I came down with a fever 2 days ago, and then my mom and my dad have it now. And I still got a stuffy nose and cough and everything, but my mom has the worst of it. She's got the worst fever. She's got 102.6.
Your mom does?
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to pray. And when we pray, you're not going to claim it anymore, are you? You're going to say, no. Nope, I ain't got that. Mama ain't got it. Bless God, we're healed, right? Amen. Yeah. All right, in the name of Jesus, I command this spirit of infirmity out of that household right now in Jesus' mighty name. And I thank you, Father, that all the symptoms are gone with it. And we praise you, Father, that the temperature has gone down in Benita, the bad feelings and all of that stuff out of Nick and her in Jesus' mighty name. And we praise you, Father, for cleansing their bodies right now of all of that sickness in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father, because you are God and you answer our prayer. We believe it and we thank you for it, Father. And we're going to speak it out of our mouth. Now, Nick, you go up and tell your mama she's healed and get up and get on this thing tonight with us. Amen, brother.
Amen.
All right. You're healed, son. Praise God. Yeah, Missy.
We command all those symptoms off Frank, too, in Jesus' name.
Off
thank
of
you,
who?
Lord, that they're all Frank.
Oh, yeah.
He said that
Amen.
He's that. He doesn't anymore in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord.
Praise God. Amen. I thought he said his mama did.
He did, right. Both of them. He did. He said it was both his parents, yeah.
Okay, not no more. Not no more. Amen. That's right. Get up out of that bed and fix it because you're healed in Jesus' name. All right. Anyone else got a prayer request? Yes, Lana.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to share. Little Theo had a really bad earache last night, and he came crying really hard to me, asking me to make it stop. And I told him mommy couldn't stop it, but I could help him out. So I just put him in his pajamas, and I told him to lay down, and we gave him a heating pad. And Theo and I just rebuked it and agreed. It was just, a couple sentences. We just rebuked it that we don't receive it. And we both agreed on it, and we left it at that. And I had to go to the store to get the heating pad, and the enemy kept trying to come against me for not praying harder or saying more about the earache. And I thought to myself, well, that's just it. I can't help my kiddo, and I don't like watching him be in pain. And later that night, he said it hurt less. And then by this morning, he's perfectly fine. So we're praising the Lord that it came out of the blue. We didn't receive it, and the Lord healed him. So thank you, Father.
I see. Thank you, Father. Glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, Geneva.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Sorry, I'm actually running right now, and I have it on my side here in my pocket. But anyways, I wanted to ask for prayer because we got something in the mail, and I don't know if it was maybe for the lady before us or something, but basically it was like a plaque, and it said, what did it say? It said, it was like, I am thankful for the woman I've become because I've fought to become her. I don't know, something of that sort. But basically, Isaac came over and he was like, that doesn't seem right. And, I actually, when I saw it too, it seemed very kind of feminist, type propaganda. Anyways, and I don't know. Like you said, maybe there's a Jezebel spirit attached with that or whatever. But anyways, I was just wanting you all to pray over our house. That any spirits of that sort have to go, because I'm pretty sure that it was a woman on her own from the mail and stuff we've received. That was taking care of her kids. And I don't know, I just want some prayer over the house that we're at right now. And because I don't want anything messing with me in the name of Jesus, and it can't, because I have the blood of Jesus Christ protecting me and my home and Morgan and the baby. So if you all just pray, that'd be great.
Okay, in the name of Jesus right now, we command every spirit not of God out of that house in the name of Jesus now. And we thank you, Lord, for every angel that's guarding that house and property from any infiltration from the enemy in the name of Jesus. We bless that house with all the blessings of God. And we thank you, Father, that it is cleansed, purified, and holy in Jesus' name. And we thank you for it, Father. Thank you, Lord. We command them Jezebel spirits to stay away from that house in Jesus' name. Amen. Nasty old thing.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. It's done, girl. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Isaac, go ahead, brother.
Hey, everybody. Great to see y'all tonight. I kind of got a little testimony, I guess. to share something that happened involuntarily. So I'm trying to prepare for this project I have to do in Greensboro, North Carolina, and my time's dwindling away because I have to go to California first to commission another project. And that, you know, you guys get it. Y'all have seen this before. You have to do, I mean, you're doing AutoCAD and PLCs and HMIs all at the same time. And I got a week to get it all done and order entry. And I just inherited this project. So it's like, oh, come on. Anyways, but here's the deal. I asked my boss, I said, hey, you're going to have to give me some help here. I can't do all of this and go commission the projects. I said, doing this part takes months of time. And he said, okay. So he got me somebody. Now the feller that got me, this all works out for the good, so hang with me. But the feller that got me, he got zero experience in HMIs. He never seen one before. And I said, well, come on, man. And I was kind of upset. And actually, one of my buddies at work called me, and he was actually, because he was going to be working with him too. And they were kind of getting upset about it. And I was thinking, man, it takes more time for me to teach somebody than for me to, it'd be faster if I did it myself. And that's what I was going to do. So I let it go. And I told my boss, and I said, hey, I don't have time to teach somebody. I'm sorry. I just need to move on. Make this happen. I said, if worst case scenario, I'll just do it on site while commissioning, but I cannot teach somebody right now on top of everything else. Well, I felt the Holy Spirit tell me, no, you should have him do this. And I'm going to tell you truthfully, I didn't listen because I already sent the email out. And that same day I was working, and an idea came to me. I knew it was the good Lord. After it came to me, it took me for a minute, but it was like, you know, Isaac, you can get him to do the part where he just copy and paste this, because he has to do the overview screen. Just have him copy and paste everything, copy and paste it and build the architecture for you. You can go in and tag it yourself. Don't even worry. And I was like, that's a good idea. And that would save me some time. So I called called his boss to ask for his assistance again. And he said he could help me. And I talked to this fella. And, you know, come to find out, yeah, he's, I don't know where he's from another country somewhere, but lives in the States though. And man, he's a born again Christian. And we were talking about God, and I sent him a sovereign God. And I was like, that's why the Holy Spirit did this. And I knew I should have listened, and I didn't, because I let the moment get to me. But, you know, I say this to glorify God, even in my inability to, when I try to do things myself, you know, self gets in the way, right? But man, like, it just blew my mind. Well, it's just so much easier when you listen to God the first time. So I just want to share that.
Amen. Yeah, I've never done that. Now I'm about to repent. Thank you, Isaac. That was a good testimony. Good testimony. Oh, praise you, Lord. All right. Anyone else? Well, I want to go into something tonight a little bit. I watched something, I believe Eve put it up on the blog, local blog here. And it was a testimony of this lady that had four near-death experiences. I don't care anything about talking about the near-death experiences other than the fourth one. And what she said was that she knew up here what holiness was in her mind, but she didn't know. She really didn't know. Actually, she knew in her spirit, but she didn't know in her mind what holiness was. And she asked the Lord, crying out to the Lord, Lord, show me holiness. Show me holiness, Lord. And she had seen Jesus before as her friend, I forget all the other, but she'd never seen him as a holy God. and he showed up as a holy God. And she said that when she saw him, that the glory just poured out away from him, just the glory of God just all over him, all around him, coming out from him. And he said he took a book, which was her life, and just went through it. And just in a second's time, she had seen everything that she had done against him and for him. In just 1 second's time. And then she knew, and Missy, you may have to help me here, she knew what holiness was after the Lord showed her that. And it was such a powerful testimony. And the testimony, she said she understands holiness now, that he is so holy that we take him for granted too much. And that we we don't hold him in that regard, that he is a holy God, a very holy God. We don't, we do a lot of joking sometimes with our talking about the Lord. And I don't suppose if we were in the presence of God in that holiness that we would do that. Yes, Missy, help me out here.
I think you should play that portion for everybody, because I can't even think of the words to say it like she did or whatever. I mean, yeah.
But would you, while I'm talking, would you get that up? Arden, are you on your phone?
No, I'm on my tablet tonight. So I might be able. See, whenever I've tried to share something on my tablet, I can't do it. I don't know why. So,
Julie, can you do it on your computer?
Yeah. Do you want me to share a screen and play it?
Yeah. Play the last.
Okay. Let me get it queued up. Yeah. Let me.
Okay. You go ahead and queue it up, and I'll go ahead and talk. But anyway, the way she explained it, man, it just went down straight to the core of my heart, because sometimes we take God for granted in a way that we shouldn't. We should not. He is the God that created us. And as such, and I'm talking about myself too. Matter of fact, I had to repent after I saw that for the lightness of my attitude sometimes around people about God. And it's just an eye-opening, heart-opening experience to listen to her explain that portion of her near-death experience. She died and went to heaven for whatever reason, but it's an amazing story. And we'll put up the link up on the chat in a little bit, but right now I want you to watch this, and it doesn't take long. It's not going to be very long, I don't think, that portion of it. But that thing that I just shared a while ago kind of put me in the mode of I really don't know about the holiness of God like I should. And I've repented to the Lord for not knowing and not even asking him what it is, you know. Well, she has sense enough to even ask him. I thought, you know, I know what God's holiness is. I don't think anyone does unless they've experienced it. Has anybody got any comments about the holiness? Is anybody experienced? Okay, Missy's experienced it. Praise God. Let's see.
No. But what it reminded me of was when Abraham walked between the halves of all the animals, and this great like fear covenant came upon him. Yeah, that's what it reminded me of, is that experience. Because he was like horrified. You know, it doesn't come right out and say he was horrified of who he realized what he, who he was, or what he was, or his lack of holiness or whatever, but you know, get the gist of that or whatever. Yeah.
There's a, we have to look at ourselves and judge ourselves like the Lord told us to. And I'm not judging anybody. I'm telling you, I was taken aback, so to speak, by the things that she said, the fear that came into her to be in the presence of a holy, glorified God. Now, she wasn't in his presence in the body. She was in his presence in the spirit. She left her body and went, and the Lord came to her. It's an amazing testimony. And I know Julie's getting it up here. Has anybody else seen this? Her name is Cindy. Oh, what's the name of her website? Tina, yeah. Walking something.
Tina Schmidt.
Tina Schmidt, yeah. Anybody got any comments while getting that up? Yeah, right.
This is kind of a confession too, but I feel that, you know, the testimonies that we've heard, individually heard from others, and I have not experienced this myself, the presence of Jesus with the glory, the power and the sensation that would come through us if we were. But when we pray, and we're told to pray in his name, but the way we do it, and we all do this together, you know, we pray in the name of Jesus, and it seems to work in my heart anyway. Not that I stopped doing it because we're commanded to do it that way. Mm-hmm. But there's something in my heart that tells me that just the words themselves don't do it justice. That he's given us power and authority, his power and authority, and the spirit through us to bestow healing on others and so forth. But anyway, because it's sometimes it grieves me when it seems like it's just repetitious, and even though we mean it because we're commanded to do it, that there's something lacking, and it's not necessarily encompassing all that he is. And I don't know how to express it, quite frankly, but I just thought.
Well, I'll tell you, I know what you're talking about, Ray. I've often thought about that myself, is the repeating in the name of Jesus is not necessary when you understand that you are in Jesus, that Jesus in you, and you are walking in Jesus, then the spiritual world understands that. And when we tell a demon to leave, it knows that we're not going to back up. It's got to go because we're standing in his stead. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. We're not ambassadors of the United States or Canada or Mexico or Russia or anywhere else. We're ambassadors of the kingdom of God. And when you're an ambassador of the kingdom of God and you look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, and walk like Jesus, bless God, you are Jesus.
I just feel that sometimes I get a sense where I'm diminishing his, yes, himself, and I surely don't do that. He's so much no. more. Thanks.
Amen. Thank you, Ray. All right. Jimmy, you ready? Okay. Let me get you where you can get it. Okay, go ahead.
It's not letting me click on the optimize for video clip. I only get the option to optimize for sound.
Well, just do the optimize for the whole video and it'll get the audio also.
It's like grayed out. It won't let me do it. Are you blocking me, Michael?
No, I've got multiple participants can share simultaneously.
There's two buttons there, but it's only letting me click share sound. It won't let me click the other.
Oh, really?
Maybe you can forward the link over to Michael and he can play it.
All right. Well, let me try it. And if you tell me if you can hear, okay?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Can you see it? Oh, yeah. Now we can.
Can see it?
Yeah, we can see it.
All right.
Who would paint those? Having been in heaven, because they do reflect
we can hear
the nature of the portrayal of Jesus in a more accurate way than, 90 some odd percent of all of the paintings and pictures that I've seen. So that is truly inspirational. And what you say resonates with me and the experience that not only I had, but other experiences that we've had. That's why I know this is genuine. I know this is real. This is true. This is what God did and who he is. So let's conclude, Tina, with that final. I know there's a lengthy part of this, but if you can get us kind of the Reader's Digest of this fourth NDE and what happened in the conclusion of the journey.
Well, like I said, I didn't mention this earlier, but I've been hit with migraines all my life, genetic. My mom had them, they ran in the family. And I just got so worn out. We had moved into this new house, the one I'm in now, and suddenly my health and everything started to take a strange turn for the worse. And I thought it was out of the dark. And some bad things happened. I had a reaction. They gave me some medication for migraine, and I started getting anxiety. And first it was low grade, then it went into higher grade, and I couldn't understand what was going on. Then they gave me something else, and that started to affect me, and anxiety started to turn into fear. What I didn't understand was my body was telling me, no, 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 this is not for you, no, no, no. And I didn't see the signals. I couldn't understand what was going on, and I had lost my... I don't know how to explain it, Randy. I had faith in God, but maybe I hadn't just trusted him. I was taking this medication and I had prayed for years for these migraines to go away. Finally, when I was on this medication, then they gave me something else and I started to get depressed. Then they gave me some, and I had like five medications, and I was a wreck. And then this one that the doctor gave me, it was a misdiagnosis. I had a bad feeling about it, and he put me on the, I said, no, 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 lowest dose. I only took like that much of it. And then I had a very bad experience. It felt like the back of my head had just blown out. And this medication affected my nervous system. It had actually damaged my brain. And through my spinal cord, I could feel this fiery going down and radiating out through all of my limbs. And I basically got brain damage. And the amygdala of my brain started firing off 24 hours a day in terror. It was just brrr. And I went into the hospital. I stopped being able to breathe. I went into convulsions. I went into the ER. Then they moved me into another hospital for 10 days where I was fighting for my life. But here's the interesting thing. There was always a part of my soul and always a part of my spirit that was taking hold of this, saying, okay, what's going on? And I prayed, and I prayed Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I had all of these evil spirits trying to tear me down and destroy me. And I hung on to the Lord. I hung on to him. I hung on to his promises. And I ended up coming out of the hospital. They had me on medication. And what I did was, whenever they gave me the medication and they set the cup there, I would stick it, pretend I was taking it, stick it in the side of my mouth. And when they left, I'd spit it out. And I said, I'm done with this. I got out of the hospital. I said, if I'm going to die, I'm going to die at home. So I spent weeks in bed. And finally, what happened was, there was a part of me aware of everything. And if I had the slightest bad thought, anything negative, whether it was from TV or anything negative, my system shut down. It went, and I had to struggle to breathe again. And I was like, oh my gosh, Jesus is right. Our thoughts are powerful. And it dawned on me that every thought, every script that the enemy tries to inscript in us has an effect on our body, our soul, and our spirit. Because every thought I had, if my thoughts wavered to any possibility of failure, I began to die. And so this was the most amazing learning curve of harnessing my thoughts, remembering to breathe. I would wake up without breathing. And it was like, breathe. Oh yeah, breathe. Forcing myself to breathe, forcing myself. And I'd have to do this for an hour before my brain would kick in and go, oh yeah, we remember how to do that. Oh, you know, or I'd walk and suddenly fall with complete failure, system failure, and have to be helped up. I couldn't coordinate going across. I couldn't eat. I was down to 93 pounds. Anyway, what happened was, is I was broken, and I had to lean on the Lord 100%. You would think seeing him all in his glory on the throne breaks you. It doesn't. It lifts you. But there was a part of the consciousness in my soul of this paradigm, this limited paradigm here, that had to be broken off. And that's what happened. It got broken off, and I had to rely on the Lord day and night for everything. Everything. So this is why I stuck scriptures on the wall and had to walk it out with a cane. I would read the Psalms on my phone. If all I could do was take 10 steps out of my front door before a system failure, I would do it. The next day I might get 11 steps. Next day I might get 20 steps or 5 or whatever. I never looked back. I said, it's an all or nothing. It's got to be all or nothing. I'm either into this thing of the Lord 100%, pick up your mat and walk, or I'm done. And I said, okay, I'm picking up my mat, Lord. I'm picking up my brush. And as time went on, so my accident was in the first part of 2019, in February to March. And I began to write these journals. My first one was in May, when I could pick up a pen. And this is 2019. And the information began to flow and flow and flow like you wouldn't believe. I wrote, and I was a scribe from heaven. I began to write the downloads that just came pouring through. And I said, Lord, if that's what it took to break off this world and to break off these false paradigms and to get me into heaven and to get your truth here, then that's what it took. I'm bearing it. Let's do it. And I began to write and write and write. And all of this information came pouring out. I still had to walk it, Randy. I still had to walk through the pain. I think the pain in the nervous system, which was like getting stabbed 1,000 times a day in every part of your body, that took a good 2 years before it lifted. And I was able to be mobile and get some of my normal life back, but I never quit. And Jesus kept coming back to me and visiting me. One time, even in the worst part, he came up behind me and he put his arms around me and he whispered something so sweet. It's so tender to my heart, I can't repeat it, but it, again, it just helped me go forward. And when I was ill, my husband got he had this laryngeal problem where his laryngeal will swell up and he couldn't breathe, and he's had it before. And here I am, as ill as ever, I reached my hand over to his throat. I said, in Jesus' name, be healed. And it went and shrunk up, and he's never had the problem since. It's not me. It has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Jesus and his power, the Holy Spirit. Here I am flat on my back. How could that happen? It's because of him. And so I got to my on my face and I said, Lord, I don't even know what holiness is. I am so messed up. I am so sorry. I don't know how I got here, but I don't even know what holiness is. I have no clue what holiness is. I said, I read it, I can understand it up here, but I don't know what holiness is. I read Isaiah and Paul says, you know, we work out our salvation by fear and trembling. And I'm like, we're talking to you, Jesus, like you're our buddy. What is this holiness thing? Well, Randy, I'll share this with you. And this is the most profound, powerful experience next to seeing Jesus on his throne. The power of God came to me. And I said, I was crying. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm like a ignorant person. I have no idea this holiness. What is this holiness? We say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. What is holiness? He comes in, and this is the Almighty. Now, it's not Jesus, my friend, my brother. This is Almighty. He comes in to my room, and suddenly my soul and all that I am, he splays it open. It's like he just takes all that, everything that I am, and goes like this, and it's spread out. Now, in the book of Daniel, it says the seats are taken and the books were opened and everything is laid bare before the Lord. There's a scripture that says that. So what happened was I felt and I knew I was being splayed open like a book. There was thousands of pages. Every page was a view of my life. Every event, good, bad, ugly, wonderful, it was all there. And I'm experiencing this being opened bare before the Lord. And he has me gently, and he just spreads me open like this. I can't explain it. It's like if you were a supernova and all that you are just got exploded into a million pieces and you are laid bare. Then he takes me through my whole life. I got my whole life revealed to me in seconds. This. And then he goes, here you go. That's holiness. That's where you, and I was flat. When he came in, I was flattened out, and everything in my instinct, everything in my soul and spirit knew I was in the presence of this Almighty. And I couldn't even stand up. It was so thick. And I went flat. And then I bawled for days. I cried and cried and cried. How ignorant I could have been. How could I have not? How could I? I'm sorry, God. I just suddenly had this reverential respect for God's authority and his this Almighty. You know, it was like, oh my God, he is holy and he is Almighty. So every question I've asked, he's never academically answered. He's taken me through the experience, and he wants me to know it. Now you know it. You know it inside and out. So when I got that exposure to holiness and how he can just take us and go open, close, I was done. And I, ever since then, when I'm approaching the throne of God, when I'm coming into prayer, into the presence of the Lord, I am totally respectful and on my face, or I'm back here, or I wait for the angels to tell me, okay, yeah, okay, it's okay now. It's just amazing. And I wouldn't trade it for the world, because I have it now in here, up here, but in here. And that's an amazing journey to come out of that illness. I'm well now. In fact, I had to destroy that demon of the headaches, and I've never had a migraine since, not a headache, not a tweak since then, since I've come through it. And this is the warfare. The warfare that we're on is, it says in the scriptures that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. We're not here to sit here and lay on our laurels. We are on this amazing kingdom journey, and we've got to take it and take it serious. This is really amazing. So that's what I learned through these experiences, and the glory of God and his great power. But also in that experience of him opening my soul, he was so tender and so loving. I can't express the dichotomy of this power, this sovereignty to take you, all of what you are, and spread it out, but hold you so tenderly and then put it back so everything comes back perfect, and hold you with such love. I've never experienced anything like that. Mm. And that is our God.
Wow. Tina,
I'm sorry to go in overtime.
No, there are no words to describe what this is like. You know, I'm following you, our journey together as a storyline, because I, you know, am constantly looking for themes in you present a thematic approach, and you have volumes recording what you've experienced that testify of a journey that progresses to holiness. And that is from your initial experience, your afterlife or near death experience encounter, where there was warfare, spiritual warfare going on, battle over your soul, if you will, that I can empathize with. I experienced something similar. Mm-hmm. To the next segue, which is the experience then again over this battle and the Lord revealing himself more fully to you, causing healing throughout this journey. The third being the full revelation of the glory of God in his fullness. And the fourth being the holiness that he has imparted to you. And that comes through, you, what you've shared, your life and your wisdom.
Okay, Julie, that's probably enough.
Of us.
Wow. My. All right, the holiest one, go ahead and make a comment. Okay, here's David. All right, praise the Lord, we got one.
I had the Lord visit me. I have asked the Lord whether I should share this, but I had the Lord visit me. I felt totally unworthy. I felt like I shouldn't be in the room. I felt like finding some place I can crawl and hide. I felt like everything was wrong. Everything was, I just knew that holiness walked in and I wasn't prepared to be there. All right. It's the worst feeling I can describe, and I don't know how to describe it, when the Lord showed up in my room. And I wasn't prepared to see the Lord. And he knew I wasn't prepared, and that's why he came to show himself. To show me I was not prepared to not see the Lord. I was not prepared to be in his presence. And that's kind of the impression he gave me in my life. Now, that said, not my life didn't change immediately after that. That was just a brief moment. But he reminds me. And I think you need to remind yourself of this too. You're saved by grace through faith. And it's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. You're not going to ever be righteous in your own standing. It's going to be through his grace, through his faith, that he's going to give you the righteousness to be what you need to be. And if you put yourself under the law and try to be something you can't be, you're never going to see the Lord. You have to understand what grace is and what salvation is, and then you'll understand what righteousness is, because it's his righteousness, not yours. It's going to be manifested. Don't ever think that you're going to manifest your righteousness to be with the Lord. It's his righteousness that's going to come through you by faith. That's what I'm going to tell you. Don't be put under the law thinking I'm not ready for this. This is not right. whatever, because that's the biggest thing he can show you is, no, you're not God. But he can bring you up into that if by faith. So there's a lot of things, you know, a lot of people try to point at you, got to be this, got to do that. Well, you're putting yourself under a law. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it. That's what I want to share on that. I like what I hear to a degree, but I do worry that, you know, you don't try to think about, you know, to look to what the Lord can do for you by faith, because you're not going to go any other way. It's not going to happen without faith and grace and believing in the promises. You got to get that faith built for those things. So that's all I want to share on it.
Amen. Amen. It is all by faith. Go ahead, Missy.
Henrietta has a question. Is holiness the same as righteousness? And I have some thoughts on that, if I could answer that question.
Sure.
We are justified by faith. We are righteous by faith, right? We're counted righteous by faith. That is a faith thing, but holiness is the manifestation of that righteousness.
Good point. And that's what we were talking about, the holiness of God.
Mm-hmm.
Your holiness is going to be manifested by your faith.
Mm-hmm.
And what he gives you. Your progression in 30, 60, 100. No, that's the glory. And, you know.
Did you have something else you wanted to say, Missy? I didn't know if you got through or not.
Yeah, I was just kind of like agreeing with what Dave said, from glory to glory.
Yeah.
Manifest. Yeah. And it actually, that it's just righteousness being walked out in your life. Jesus in you being lived out is what the holiness is. It's from glory to glory.
Right. What she was talking about, though, and I'm going to refer back to what she said, was the holiness of God is what we don't understand. Not that we're going to get that holiness. We're going to be sanctified, just like David said, by faith. Sanctification is only by faith and God's grace on us. But do we understand the holiness, the true holiness of God? Go ahead, Pat.
Well, I would say that I don't, but I guess for the last couple of days, well, I have been thinking about some of the, when you mentioned holiness, some of the thoughts regarding the holiness movement, you know, back in the whatever 1800s or 1700s or whatever.
Yeah.
And the basis of that movement, what was the holiness of God, and it had to do with and she kind of referred or reflected on a certain aspect of it, and that's the part that I was thinking of when the Lord opened up the book and showed her herself. And I think what Missy and Dave are kind of referring to is the aspect of God's righteousness and our transitioning or transitioning into that righteousness from aspects of unrighteousness. And that, of course, is all done by faith, by walking in obedience to the Spirit of God through His Word and walking those truths out. However, I'm brought back to the concept that one of the foundations that the holiness teachers taught, and that is in relation, in the relationship to sin and what it is. In other words, understanding what sin is that it primarily comes in two forms. It's spoken about in two forms in the Bible, and that is sins committed, which have the remedy of forgiveness. We can confess our sins, and God cleanses us of all unrighteousness and brings us into a place of that holiness. Mm-hmm. But there's another aspect of sin that the Bible talks about. I'm not absolutely sure about it, but I suspect it has to do, that it's more correctly called iniquity, or referred to as iniquity, like in the Psalms when David is mentioning in the Psalms about forgiving us our sins and our cleansing us of our iniquity, etc. There's two aspects of it there. That second aspect is not so much sins that are committed that have to be forgiven, but it is the nature of sin which dwells in us, and is the very potential and the ground necessary for the commission of sins. It all comes from that nature. And that nature, in its dormant fashion, cannot be forgiven. The only remedy for that nature is death, is crucifixion. And that's God's remedy for that. Now, that being said, we are a package of the sin nature and sins. And God in His truth and reality has crucified the nature and forgiven us of sins. Yet we in our sanctification process, the book gets opened a little bit and we get to see there's another section of our nature, which is the cause of certain sins or of neglect or sins of, you know, passion or whatever it would be. And we have to go through that process again of confession of sin and trusting in the Lord Jesus that nature has been crucified, etc. So from where I'm at right now, my belief or awareness is at this point is that we deal with a periodic revelation of a nature within us that somehow hasn't been put to death. But God is not that way. He doesn't have a mixture. He doesn't have, you know, that mixture there. He is completely absent of any nature of sin. Complete. He's whole. We are whole by faith. We are partially, you know, depending on 30, 40, 60, 100, whatever it would be, that aspect. But God isn't. He's whole. He's 100%, or if you could say more. He is complete. He is whole. And incidentally, off of that, I leapfrog and say, that is the point or the purpose that the holiness preachers of John Wesley's day and whatever preached, because they believed and experienced, and many writings can prove this, that they entered in to that place, whether you call it 100%, or you call it the second blessing, or you call it entire sanctification, or whatever that, however you want to state it, they entered into that place of complete 100% holiness, where God has manifested the complete annihilation through, I believe, our awareness and faith and recognition that his word is true. And in fact, we were crucified. Our old nature was killed at that cross. And somehow, by faith, we move into that place of entire sanctification, or however you would say it. Now this, so when I hear her speaking of the holiness of God opening up her life and revealing to her the good and the bad and the mixture and the lack or of holiness or righteousness, etc., in comparison with God's absolute purity and absolute power and the ability to crush anything that he intended to do, but yet was so tender and love in a manifest of love that it had to be and was, in fact, an awesome display that she couldn't even comprehend. And quite frankly, even I'm talking about it, I don't believe I even comprehend it as well. But I certainly desire to be there, however that can happen. So praise the Lord. And I believe it can happen.
Yeah, I do too. Who was first? Isaac, I think, wasn't he? Yeah, go ahead, Isaac.
Okay.
Men before women.
Yeah. Got them. Take note.
Go ahead, brother.
I'm just kidding. Yeah. Like Pat said, I don't really comprehend it either. I didn't have quite the experience Dave had, but I wanted to kind of say what happened to me. And this was in 2009. And basically I was a willful sin back then. You know, I just really never, I guess I just didn't have a gift of grace at the time. But anyways, long story short, I went to sleep and I was in a dream. And here it was weird. In this dream, it's the only time it's ever happened to me, I fell asleep in my dream, right? So I was in a dream. It was weird. I was in a dream walking around. And then I felt laid down in my dream, fell asleep, and this little bitty speck of light came to me, and it was an angel. And he just took my body, and we just went flying through outer space. And, I mean, we went, literally, I remember we crossed through the, what do you call those things, the asteroid field in Saturn. It was instantaneous. I mean, it was like that. It's like, boom. And we were just soaring through space. And I remember God spoke to me. But here's the thing. He didn't speak audible. We had a conversation just without even moving our mouths because he knew my thoughts in my heart, and he put his thoughts in my heart to where it was a feeling, but it explained a paragraph, right? And so we just imagine having a conversation where this infinite being is just having a conversation with you, you know, just like that, right? I can't explain it. For one, I'm not good at explaining things, but two, anyways, he said to me, and like I say, just a feeling, a tug of my heart. He said, if you can continue, I will show you all the things, or let me rephrase this. He said, if you can continue, I will show you the things of the future and what will happen. And I was fearful. And I said, no, Lord, I can't. I said, I can't. This is my heart. I said, I'm not ready because I had sin. And I even knew exactly where that sin was. Like it was obvious sin. And just in that moment alone, so to hear this lady and then hear Dave, and it's just, you know, I don't understand it, but I guess I'm just saying it is fearful, and it is something to be reverenced. And have I taken him for granted at times? Oh, I can guarantee it. But I just, grace, man, he's moving us along. But that's all I was going to share. That is a pretty wild experience.
Awesome. Well, let's see. Go ahead, Anna.
Hey, guys. I had an experience pretty similar to Pat's I wanted to share. Or not Pat's, I'm sorry, Dave's that I wanted to share. It was a few years ago. And Lord, help me how to share this. It's kind of hard, like, to put into words, but so I felt like I had been wronged for a long time. So I kind of shut myself in a room and I was crying out to the Lord, you know, Lord, I don't feel like I could take any more of this. You know, when are you going to help me? Blah, blah, blah. You know, I've been wronged, blah, 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 all about myself. And so here I am, I guess it was, you know, just self-pity and rejection and all these things that I didn't realize were even sin at that time. And the Holy Spirit came into the room. And the Lord didn't say anything. It was just the presence of the Lord. And it was so painful. Excruciating is like the only word that comes to mind. It was like all my sin was laid out before the Lord. And it was like all these things that I thought I had been wrong. It's like the Lord was not looking at that. He did not care about that. That was not of any consequence in the moment. It was just me and my sin and the Lord. And it was like this horrible, horrible experience to realize, you know, that I was, you know, a sinner before the Lord. And, I think about that a lot of times, you know, when I feel like I've been wronged by somebody, I'm like, Lord, okay, you know, this is of no consequence. You know, this is not going to do anything for my eternal soul to think about this or to, you know, take account of this wrong or whatever. And it was like this feeling like when people describe, you know, like when they die and they go to heaven and they realize that, they have sin and they are not making it into the kingdom. It was like that feeling. And I was just so grateful. It was so excruciatingly painful. I can't even put it into words, but I was really grateful. I was like, well, Lord, thank you for giving me this opportunity, you know, this experience, you know, now and not later, you know, once it's too late. So I'm sorry, I'm kind of losing my composure here, but It was a good experience, and I'm glad to experience it here. And it is, it's painful when you have sin and you're in the presence of the Lord.
Amen. Yes, that was very well said. Thank you for it. Go ahead, Missy.
I was thinking about describing what I think would, you know, this, I'm sure this doesn't do any justice to what God's holiness is, but I believe he's given me a little bit of an idea, because I just really sitting here meditating on it. And I went to when Adam and Eve were in the garden before they sinned, were they holy? And I felt like the Lord said, no, they weren't holy. I feel like the Lord was showing me the difference between our holiness and what it is for us to be holy, and what it is, what his holiness is. He is God. He is almighty. He's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. We are never going to be God. We can have the attributes of Christ, you know, and I think we're partakers of his divine nature. And but like even in heaven, you know, when we get to heaven, we're never going to be God. There's only one creator of heaven and earth. God, you know, actually, if technically you want God the Father and the Son, because Jesus was even the firstborn of all creation. And then he helped God create the heavens and the earth. He created me. I am not going to know the intricacies. I'm never going to know what God knows, in that he knows me inside and out. He knows every little detail in me. I'm not going to know that about other people, you know? And that's just kind of like where I was going with that. That I think is part of what explains God's holiness. We're coming to the image of Jesus, and, you know, we can't get into heaven with spot wrinkles and blemishes. We can't get into heaven with sin. So he's purifying us before there. He's making us holy before that, without sin. And if that means, you know, if you live after the flesh, you must die, you know. But those are just some of my thoughts. I don't know if that applies, but that's just what was coming to me. And just to have that reverential reverence, like she was saying, you know, reverential respect, you know, like we never, ever will have authority over God, you know. He's the almighty God. So
we're all going to bow before him, aren't we?
That's right. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He is the Lord. There's only one Lord. We can but be partakers of his divine nature, and we can come into his image. And I think that coming into his image really is, I don't know, I never thought about that until just now, is his image of what he was here on this earth. In other words, he learned to be obedient by the things that he suffered. He was made perfect by the things which he suffered. But coming into his image, I think I don't know. I never, that just popped in my head. I don't know if that is something that.
Well, he wants us to come into his image.
Right. But I'm saying that we're only, I don't know. This just, like I said, I don't know if this is true. We're, I think probably even in eternity, we'll be coming more and more into his image. We'll, because I think there was something that you spoke about in Odin Hetrick's thing, you know, we'll be able to grow up in the Lord once we're there in heaven too. And we'll be able to grow more. I don't know. There's something that I thought somebody shared or whatever about that. But anyway, so I'll just shut up before I totally trip over myself.
Praise God. No, go ahead, Claire.
In keeping with the theme, I'm so blessed by Dave and Anna's testimonies because I had something similar that I'd like to share. And I've often wondered about it because it was such a weird thing that I experienced that I almost, it didn't make me doubt anything. I just, yeah, I wondered about it. But now that I've heard your two testimonies, it makes a whole lot more sense. A few years ago now, I was really being persecuted and going through manifold trials and temptations, as the scripture says. And I couldn't really understand it. Like I didn't really understand why I needed to go through it. Like I was very prideful, but I didn't know it at the time. And I kept on crying out to the Lord, like, why is this happening? Why is this happening? Why is this happening? Because in my head, I could only see the things that I had given up or the things that I had, sacrificed for the Lord. And those are all the reasonable acts of service, as, you know, Romans says. But I was still very immature in my thinking. And I mean, I still am. So I think, you know, it's just a learning process. But one night, the Lord woke me up, probably around 2:30. And he brought me into this room, this living room. And this is such a humbling thing to explain. Give me a moment. I crawled around like a beast in my room, in this room. I was on all fours crying out because the holiness of the Lord was around me. And I felt like an animal. And I was on all fours. I had snot coming out of my nose. I was crying so much because I was so completely overtaken by this feeling and this state. And I remember in my head thinking, this is just like Nebuchadnezzar. This is just like Nebuchadnezzar. This is just like Nebuchadnezzar. And the only thing I could think of with Nebuchadnezzar was that pride of exalting yourself above the one and holy God. And I remember just falling completely prostrate and just praying and saying, I don't want to be like that. I'm so sorry. I don't know how, what more to do except to let you do the work in me. And I mean, it took a long time. Eventually, probably around 4, I went back to bed. It felt like 7 years though. And a couple of nights later, I was very quiet those couple of days. I remember Rian just looking at me all the time going, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm just going through something, you know? And a couple of days later, I got a dream and it was a knock at the door and I opened the door. And when I opened the door, it was this light that came in and gave me this hug that I've never felt such love before. Like never have I felt such love before. And man, like that's what it is. It's just that humbling to be completely broken so that he can fill you up with his love. And whenever something happens to where I think, why do I need to go through this? Or why is this happening? What haven't I learned? Or you've already gone to the cross for me. Surely I don't need to deal with this. Or, you know, whatever stupid thought comes into my brain, I go back to that. And I just remember, like, I don't want to be like Nebuchadnezzar. And I'm going to paste a link into the chat of an artist from the 1600s called William Blake. And he painted what Nebuchadnezzar looked like. And that night, I only saw this image like a couple of years after. But that night, I felt exactly like what this picture looks like. And I'm just so grateful that he is so gracious to give us these revelations of our own depravity and iniquity, so we know we cannot stand unless it's Christ standing in us. Thank you, Jesus.
Another awesome testimony. Thank you, Claire. What does Nab look like? Go ahead, Roy. Or June.
Yeah. Something on what everyone's saying, and Claire as well. Never have experienced the presence of the Lord in that fashion. But I tend to think from everything, from the testimonies that I've heard, and what we've spoken about this evening, is that the holiness of the Lord is the godly state and an absence, total absence of all impurities. I think Pat this as well. And, you know, when we pray for God's presence, and when he does show himself and the glory of God descends upon a group or an individual, all impurities are obliterated, cleansed, the whole area, everything's purified through and through. And I think we heard that through the testimony today as well, because this individual, I forget her name, but she had migraines. Her mother had migraines. This was a generational curse. This was demonic oppression. And when God showed up, it was gone. His presence alone is all that's needed often to cleanse and remedy illnesses, healing, promote healings and demonic activities of all kinds. So I think of God's presence as his manifestation. We call it the glory of God. And then the holiness, I just think of as, again, that state of total purity. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Yeah. We can experience, or I have experienced, the presence of God, but I've never been into that type of holiness where it beats you down to you, to the floor, you know. And that's got to be a pretty good experience there. One that you don't forget, I suspect. All right, anyone else? Anybody got any questions? Yeah, Joe, you're up, Julie.
I just want to add a little bit about what Missy said. We can't be like God. God is complete in everything, 100%. But God wants completeness or purity or holiness in us, in what he gives you, and the percentage what he gives you. So in other words, we can't be like anybody else. We can't compare us to anybody in here. What the measure he gave you, you have to be holy, have to be sanctified or purified in the percentage that he gave you to be in his presence. It's all he wants from us. It's not we have an experience like anybody else, but what he gives you is do what you what he gave you. Well, we can explain it, Julian. Well, Claire, can I help if you can?
Yeah, I kind of got what you're saying, you know, as far as like you were agreeing with what Missy said, you know, about God's holiness and stuff, but you're also saying that we can't compare ourselves to anybody else or anyone else's experiences. And, you know, we have to be who we are in Christ, who God's creating us to be in Christ. And it's his work in us. It's whatever he gives us to be, to do, that's what we have to fulfill is what he gives us to do. Is that pretty much what you said, Joe? Did I miss anything? No.
The measure he gave us, you have to be complete in that or growing into that. The measure he gives us.
Yeah. I was thinking too, as you're talking, Joe, is the Lord said, be holy for I am holy. And you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. And, you know, it's using your faith to believe that God's doing that in you. I mean, that's the only way we can be holy or perfect in his sight. He already sees the end in view. And if you have not, you know, visited or listened to, read the book, Perfection in Christ, is a good one to revisit if you haven't done that, because that's how God sees us. And it's a process, and he's doing it. Praise God, we can't. Yeah.
Thank you.
I was thinking too about Isaiah when he saw, he was in the presence of the Lord, and he says, I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips amongst people who are unclean. You know, however he said that. So, and anyhow, it's just, yeah, when you have the, thank you, Lord, you're going to bring us all there that we'll be able to, by faith, counted worthy to escape all these things and to stand in your presence and be able to face you and not shrink back at your coming. Give us all that faith to believe you, Lord, to do it in us. Amen.
Amen. He does want us to look like Jesus. Jesus told us, if you keep my commandments, obey my commandments, you'll attain that perfection that he wants in us. Not that it's the perfection of God, holiness of God, but it's where he wants us to go. And there's only one way to do it, and that's through faith. Two ways, actually. Through faith and getting the word in you. Go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, I was just thinking about what Joe was saying there. And Missy and Julie, when God created us, and when we entered into Christ, and where it says in Corinthians that we were a new creation, And then other places that I was trying to remember where that scripture was. It said something about that Christ will be formed in you, or when he appears, you will appear in him, or something like that. I don't know how it applies to what I'm saying, but I guess the thought is that. God has created us to represent or reflect a certain aspect of his image. And he didn't create me to be a dreamer, although I've had dreams. He created me a certain way. He created you a certain way. And both of us, or all of us, filled with his spirit, and obedient and walking in his way will come into his image, though it may be in a different reflection of God's fullness. It'll be a different aspect of it, kind of like the fable with the six blind men standing around the elephant trying to describe the elephant. And everyone comes out with a different perspective, but that perspective is true. It's just that it's limited to that particular perspective. And I think that's kind of the way, I believe that's the way God has created us, to represent or reflect a certain aspect of his image. And yet we can grow into 100% of that. He commands us, encourages us to grow into that fullness of that particular reflection. So I think it's correct that no, we can't grow or mature into God, so to speak, but we can certainly have been given the responsibility and the role to grow into that particular aspect of God and be in the fullness of that. So that's, I guess, that's kind of what I was getting out of what Joe was saying.
Amen. David already there. Yes, he did. All right. Anyone else?
Yeah, I've got a comment.
Who is this?
Hello?
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, I can hear you.
Michelle.
Oh, okay, Michelle. Definitely. Go ahead.
Yeah. This is really good. Be weighty. That's really been, I love hearing about people's experiences of God. I just, that's like my favorite thing in the world. He's so awesome. You know, it's like however he comes, just come, because he's God and he's amazing. But I'm not sure how to kind of hard when we talk about these experiences that are so core to us to find the words. But I was just thinking, like, in for me, it's like, there's so much about God's holiness, and I see in Scripture, this dread, this God who is like no other, in perfect light and purity and love and power, and the Ancient of Days, and just like I see that, but in my lived experience with God, in my story in my walk with God, I had very early encounter with the Lord at a young age, and just a tender fullness of the Spirit in a walk, and then it was a process. Sin always is, but the temptations in high school, the struggle, the battle with sin. And though I loved him with everything, that battle of the lust of the flesh and sin came so hard against my life. And so I completely destroyed, and it was not willful destruction. It was through weakness of my flesh. It was through foolishness. We can have the fullness of the Spirit and have no wisdom and no understanding. And that was me. I don't understand how and why God does things, but that's what happened. And so I just came to a complete and total end of myself after a period of 2 or 3 years of just complete brokenness, complete self hatred, and just slowly hardening of sin against the Holy Spirit, slowly. and to the point of just quitting. And so what I'm trying to say is, from that place of total brokenness, God came to me, and, you know, like a flower just picked me up, and I was that broken. I was a completely the crushed reed. And so my experience of God has been so, you know, I can't even put it into words, and I know all of you have tasted different degrees of this too, I'm sure, but his beauty, his total mercy, his complete just love, and just a tender shepherd, just tenderly saying, you know, I'm for you. You can always come to me. It doesn't matter how much, you know, like one of the biggest things was when he showed me, and these are different encounters I had with the Lord where he's like, I was always for you. I that's what the cross is for. You can always run to me, always, always, always. And that's how you're going to be transformed. That's how you're going to stand. And those are all things I didn't know as a young Christian. I thought I had to do it. I was saved now. I had to be strong. I'm a Christian. I didn't know it was all by faith. And I didn't know that when I blew it, this, like we've been talking about tonight, like in Christ, that he has made those holy who he is making holy. I am completely holy. I didn't understand any of those things. So I hid and I beat myself up and all of those things that led me to complete and total destruction. So I'm just, as I'm listening and thinking about how, like, God knows, he knows what we need. And I think in my case, I was so broken. I've never experienced his holiness in a way that was in any way, like, exposed me. My sin, that would have completely crushed me, I guess, is what that would have finished me off, because that was where I was at. There's no good thing that dwells in me. But I didn't know that this is what I've experienced of him. And I know how this is how he feels towards all of us. He's like, you're right. There is not one good thing that dwells in you. Your sin nature. One time during this restoration process, a major turning point was when he said, you're actually so much worse. You're so down on yourself because of that sin you committed, and it is wrong and it is sin, and I'm going to deliver you. But if you're so much worse than that, and I accept you and I love you because of the cross, will you love you? Will you accept? He said, will you accept it and just run to me and receive my washing, my cleansing? This is how you're going to be made whole. This is how you're going to be set free. This is how you're going to become like me. So I guess that I see mentally that there's this fearsome, you know, holiness, and I would like to see more, and I pray, you know, for more revelation. I want to know the whole glory of the Lord, of course, all of him, you know, but my lived experience of the Lord has just been such tender love that I have felt at times. That I might break into with the depth of my sin in light of his love and compassion and acceptance in pursuit of me, despite the depth of my sin and my failures. And that it's just he's beautiful. His love is amazing and tender. Yeah, so that's kind of where I've come from with the Lord is he's just shown me, and I guess I have a question in that as I'm hearing different stories. He shows us what we need to see, you know, and I was hopeless in and of myself. And so to this day, I really carry a deep sense of, you know, I know what I'm capable of, and it's nothing good. And I feel like everything, if I have any stability, and I have a lot of stability now, and still a lot of sin and twistedness that he's still, you know, working out of me. But guess what I'm trying to say is I really know it's all him. I know that because, you know, I've seen how ugly and just the depth of my sin is just really awful. And it was like complete. I don't know how to put it any differently. There's just like complete end of self and no hope. And I've never really left that place of total and absolute failure. And so I know anything good is definitely him, and then it's not me. I get cut off. Sure, if I'm still
on. You're muted, Michael.
I knew that. Yeah. No, I didn't either. I was sitting there talking to him. Amen, Michelle. I'm sorry. I was trying to do something else and I wasn't listening. Did you have a question?
Did I have a question?
Yeah.
No, not really. I'm not sure. Did I get muted early on? I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, it sounded like it.
I heard everything. Sounded good, Michelle.
Okay. All right. I guess, I don't know. I was just wondering about, my question was, One of the themes that I heard in a few of you with this sense of God coming was that there was a lot of like feeling like, hey, why me, God? I'm doing pretty good. Not everybody's had the luxury of messing up to the depth that I have. Say that tongue in cheek. But, you know, we all have a different pathway. And, you know, we don't know the depth of our sin. And I don't either. I don't claim to know the depth of mine. But being a complete and total failure helped me a little bit. So one way or the other, God's going to either we're going to have to experience it and know experientially, or he's going to reveal it. But like he knows how to break us, maybe, I guess that's what I'm saying, and deal with us as individuals. Yeah, you can find a question there. You're free to comment. But thank you.
All right, Debbie.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to share that I guess when I really feel and sense God's holiness is when I don't have a bunch to say about what it is and all I've experienced and what he's shown me, but I really feel his holiness when I worship and when we all worship together and when we really come into the presence of the Lord, because he inhabits the praises of his people. He inhabits our worship and he is holy. So there is holiness in our midst. And when I'm just worshiping him by myself, I just feel his holiness and it all begins. It all begins when with that and then sensing, oh, what I am or what I was before he saved me, before his blood, and yet here I am, and he's picked me up and says, be holy now, be ye holy, be like me, and I want to strive for that. And the last time I really felt that, I shared this song on a blog, Beauty of Holiness, Beauty of Your Holiness, I think it's titled, just a beautiful song that just, I just came upon that song accidentally, and God wanted me to, though, because, when it began, it was like, whew, just a rush of just this worship of God and came over me. And there's a part of it that says, he's worthy. He's so worthy that all I can do is fall. And just like that got that just did that to me. And just I just used that song a few times and just purposely chose just to worship him because of who he is and what he's done for me and is thanking him and getting before him and just flat on the ground and on the, my floor here and just worshiping him and telling him all that I appreciate about him and his holiness and that he sees Jesus in me. And then from there, it leads on to him just moving in me to be able to pray in ways I don't normally pray, but just be in that presence like that. I can, you know, pray in real specific with power and authority of things, my children or whatever it is I'm praying for, things going on in the world. And because his presence there, but it's just when I worship, so when I get to is when I worship, it's I really just really reveals his holiness to me, especially when I purposely just get down before him. And like Michelle said, come to the end of myself. It's like, this is it. Here I am. This is all of me, Lord, flat down here on the ground here before you. And there is nothing good in me but you and all you did for me at the cross. And you know, I was good. I was only good for hell. And look what you've got me. You've got me in a place where I'm learning to walk and be like you and grow into your holiness. And so just the worship of Jesus is just an amazing thing to have, make a habit to do is just get in his presence and worship him and allow him to, minister to us that way and really sense his holiness. Anyway, hope that meant anything. Thank you all.
Amen. Thank you, Debbie. That's good. Yeah, I've been many times at night that when I pray in the spirit, that the presence of the Lord is real strong. But that's, didn't slap me down to the ground or anything like that. It just, I was just praying in the spirit. Lord's presence was there. I knew it. Go ahead, Ray, June.
Tonight's talk made me reflect back on the fear of God. In the year 2000, I had very low energy. And speaking to my daughter's friend's mother, who suggested for me to go to a doctor who would do lab work. And see what my blood work was all about. So I thought that was a good idea at the time, because literally I would take my son, I would drive him to school, and I'd come back and I'd lie on the couch for 2 hours. It was just like, I just wasn't able to function properly. And so the who had told me about the doctor mentioned that she also does, I don't know if I'm going to pronounce it right, iridology. It has to do with looking into your eyes. And I had read in two different books that was against the Lord. I had read it from Derek Prince, and the other was Dr. Rebecca Brown, who was very much dealing with people having demonic issues. So I had all the intention of not having that procedure done. But before I went into the doctor's office, I was asking the Lord, mentioning Derek Prince and the other doctor saying that this would be against you. I said, but they don't give a reason. I don't understand why it would be. And I was literally asking the Lord if he would let me know why I should refrain. I got no response from the Lord. So foolish me gets seen by the doctor. And I recall saying to her that I didn't want this iridology to be done on me. And she was proclaiming to be a Christian. And she gave me that verse. I want to look it up right now. let's see. Okay, the eye is the lamp of the body. That's true. So I let her do it. And as soon as she had done it, this fear came over me. I mean, I had an anxiety attack like you wouldn't believe. I walk out of the office, very upset, come home, and I was in the house alone, and I'm yelling out to the Lord, Lord, I kept on asking you if this was against you, why would it be? I wanted, and you didn't respond. I didn't hear the words, but I might as well have heard it because it hit me like a bolt of lightning as far as this thought came to me so strongly. And the thought was, you are going to have to know. I wish I could remember the words exactly, but it had to do with to be able to die for me. Like, you have to take a stand. In other words, you be not sure of something. You have to stand on my word and live my word. I was horrified after that. And I just couldn't shake off the, it was as if the Lord had left me. I felt his presence was gone from me. And that night, Ray and I go to bed, but I can't sleep. So I get out of the bed. I'm on the couch. I'm going through the Bible. I am just beside. I finally just go back to bed. I get some sleep. And when I woke up in the morning, it was just the opposite of what I had dealt with through the night. I felt so alone, so I was so apart from the Lord. But when I woke up, I was filled with this joy and this love was showering over me. It was so awesome. And it's something I can't forget. I don't want to forget. I mean, it was a major lesson that I don't want to go through. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, June. Yeah. Okay, Nick, go ahead, brother. Do you have Lord come see you?
Yeah, I got a call from work today to see if they could, if they wanted me to come in on Saturday, but I don't think I'm up to it yet. But I told them I'm going to wait and see how I feel later on in the week, and then I can go from there. So. And they were okay. Like, that's fine. We'll go with that. So I was okay. Happy with that.
All right. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else? Yeah, Carol.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good. I'm using my phone. Okay. I just wanted to, I don't think I can go on to the subject of holiness other than having a little bit of everything that everybody shared tonight. I have touched and experienced a little bit of that, so it would be way too long. But what I did want to share is, you remember that I think it was on Tuesday I told you I had last Thursday I had a divine appointment with the lady with her daughter and the dog in the park next door to my house, and how when I was praying for the lady, well, I was talking with her and I kept sensing the voice, and of course then I realized it was the Lord, and I definitely know it was the Lord now, and that's what I'm about to share. I kept hearing this voice, don't forget about the daughter, don't forget about the little girl. So the next day after I had prayed for this little girl, it was really shut down. And when I had prayed for her right outside my house, where a lot of people were, and how the little girl had been moved and was crying, I kind of put that away. But the next day I felt like just write to the mother and say you have popsicles for the kids, because I know she had another daughter and I hadn't met the other daughter yet. So she wrote back, okay. I said, well, I'm going to walk my dog. You want to meet? And she says, oh, okay, I'm going to bring my gang. So I went to her house and gave the popsicles. But here's what happened. That little girl that had this brooding dark energy was no longer that little girl. She came running out, calling my name, and jumped into me and hugged me so hard. It was phenomenal. And I was like, oh God, this is so wonderful. I have, you know, because I live alone and I've been talking about, you know, 2020 and all these years of, you know, I just need a hug. And this little girl was hugging me and I hugged her back. I was so happy. It was so wonderful. She was so lifted from the darkness. And then her little sister I hadn't met yet, who's 7 years old, comes running out and going, oh, you're Carol. Jumps into my arms and hugs me too. It was so funny and hysterically, ridiculously crazy what was going on. And then she had a little boy that she was babysitting who was maybe five. He goes, oh, hi, Carol. And he runs into my arms and hugs me too. I thought, this is so crazy. So anyway, and then I said, well, you guys want to walk? So we went for a walk, and then the mother, you know, walked. And it was so difficult to talk to the mom, though, because I had these three little kids clinging to me, and my dog didn't know what to do with that. So I finally just put my dog in my little pouch so that I can tend to the little children. But, and then they wanted to adopt me. They wanted me to move in with them. And then the mother was talking to me. Anyway, when I got home, I had to, like, walk them to their place and say, no, no, I'm not sleeping at your place. I'm going to go home tonight. But then I had to take my dog for a walk after that, because I really, literally, my dog couldn't go to the bathroom with all these energy around us. And I go, God, what was that? He says, they're little children and they are so hungry for me, as in Jesus. And I thought, wow. And he showed me, like, these little birds with their little mouth. Feed me, feed me, feed me. That's what it was like. There was so much energy. I had to completely go to rest. And then, of course, I prayed for them. So I guess I just want to encourage us to, you know, I don't know. I've just been saying, Lord, as you know, this has been my second week of being off work. And I really am seeking to go to be all in. Like, I can't be in the two worlds. I just can't. I just need to keep going all in and hearing that voice and following it. So I did two other, well, one, I'll go with one. I'm just going to add one other little voice. I was taking communion and I really felt God said, I want you to call your mother and tell her to take communion with you. And I was like, oh, that's my mother has thrown a big cement ashtray at me once when I tried to talk about Jesus. I go, you sure this is you, Lord? And the Lord is like, I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to obey you, because I had so much joy in my heart. So I just called her, and plus she did accept Jesus through this type of leading in my heart once I went to her house and she came to the Lord. So, but she doesn't follow him, doesn't read the Bible, doesn't really know him. So my heart is, how do we feed them, Lord? How do we get them to go further with you? And she's been ill. She has a spirit of infirmity. She can't speak. She can speak, but she loses her voice very often. And so she's mostly paralyzed from the mouth. And she no longer can lift her arms out because her shoulders are just breaking apart. Okay. And God keeps telling me, I'm going to heal her. Don't you be afraid. I'm going to heal her. So I thought, all right. So I wrote to her two nights ago saying, I know Jesus loves you, Mom. And I know he wants to heal your speech and your shoulders. And she wrote back, oh, that would be nice. I said, you just have to believe in Jesus and ask him, and I'm going to do that for you too. Okay. She wrote back, okay. So I go, okay. Then I called her for communion. Now, this is what happened with communion, which is really weird. She's like, to take communion? I go, we're going to take communion now. I said, but, and I really felt, he said, but keep asking if she has time. I said, do you have time to do that though, Mom, right now? She's like, oh yeah, I guess. I said, okay, so let's go to your kitchen and get a piece of bread and some kind of juice. If you don't have juice, water is fine. No worries about that. She's like, but I was getting ready. I said, okay, you can get ready. I'll wait for you. She says, no, I'll go. So she went to the kitchen. And then I had this recording of this pastor that was just leading it. And so I just let him lead it. I really felt like the Lord said, let him speak it, so that whatever that thing that's on her, because sometimes it jumps on me and we don't want that right now. The Lord is protecting me. So We did. I turned that on. She said, I hear everything he's saying. So I kept checking. Do you understand it? Because it was in English and she's mostly French. She goes, yep, I understand everything. I said, okay. And then I said, okay, now we take the bread. She goes, oh, okay, we take the bread. So she took the bread with me. And then she goes, now do we take the wine? I said, yep, now we can take the wine. And we did that. I haven't followed up with her yet, but I really feel like God is working something there. And I want to add, okay, this might go with all of what we've been talking about. Many years ago, before my mother became, that spirit of infirmity came upon her, she had something like that was called like a type of meningitis, and she was on her way out, basically. And I was on my way to go to the hospital, and I really felt like God said, no, you stay home and you worship me, because you will be filled with fear when you see her. So I did not go to the hospital. My family went. I stayed home and I did worship, and I did, I had these drums that I haven't used in a very long time, but I kept it though. I was doing the drum, and I felt like what happened is I went into, so this might have something to do with our traveling with the Lord. I went into my mother's brain with the Lord. It was really weird. And I met her in her brain, and she saw me. But when she saw Jesus, she freaked out. And I said, Mom, this Jesus is not the same that your mother introduced you to. This Jesus loves you. And I'm with him. And you know, I wouldn't bring something bad. And she calmed down. So this is just to tie the knot of why we're praying for this power. Ray, you wanted power? We're going for it. My mom is going to be healed. I really feel that. I think we need to keep doing this and to not be afraid and to fight this ridiculous fear that I know I get it a lot, and I know that's an attack from the enemy, but to overcome it and to hear the voice, to seek him, to fast, to pray, to do what we're doing, and to really seek him, because I just see it. I could see it, just like, you know, when the Lord took Abraham out and he said to look at the stars, I'm starting to see, and I feel it in my heart when he says, I love her and I will heal her. And I'm like, all right, God, we're going for it. I'm not backing down from this. So the doctor had said to my mother, okay, because I did go to the hospital when she was coming out. She was in there for 2 weeks because she was really in a big fight. But I was there. I was present. And the doctor said, you're a miracle, Mrs. Lavoie. That's her maiden name. Because people who have had what you have had, they either go out vertical, as in like to death, now they're going to be buried, or they're totally mentally incapacitated. So what she came out with, though, is the speech. She has a speech impediment. So, and I really started to feel this conviction. I'm really pissed off at the devil. He doesn't have a right on my mom. We're going to kick him to the curb. This is enough. So the communion is what came to me to start her on communion and just keep praying for her and tell her about me and tell her about healing. So Father God, that's the prayer. I thank you for your beauty. I thank you for your holiness. I thank you for your splendor. I thank you for your wonder. I thank you for the fear of the Lord you put on us. I thank you that you can terrorize us to go straight to you. Thank you. You also draw us with cords of human kindness and lovely, beautiful, gentle voice. Sometimes you come in like a thunder, you come like a lightning, but either way, it's always because you love us, and your heart, oh dear Lord, your heart is that not one of your children be lost, that we can go and snatch them out of the fire. Father, that's the kind of fire I pray for this group, that we will keep snatching the ones that are just about to get lost. And that is through you. We can't do that without you, but you have given us authority. And I am thanking you that you are going to snatch my mom. You are so going to deliver her. She's going to be speaking about you after this beautiful healing that's coming. In your holy name, Jesus, the name above all names. And we say holy, holy, holy. And I just bow before you right now in this praise, in this prayer. And I thank you for everything you are doing in this body, this beautiful group at UBM, and all of the children around the world, that you are waking us up to a whole new level. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Carol. That was awesome. Thank you, Father. Okay, I think we're out of time now. I was going to play that song. You want me to play the song or go ahead? I know you want to hear it, Julie. I'm talking about everybody else. Y'all want to hear it? Okay. We'll see it. Huh. I had the same problem, Julie.
Exalted high and holy, enthroned in all of His glory. I see the Lord exalted high and holy, set apart in wisdom and beauty. I see the Lord, the beauty of the Lord. I see His robes filling the heavens and the earth. The earth resonates the sound of many myriads of angels crying. O Son of God, You alone are worthy, 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 and I fall. I worship You, Lord, in the beauty of Your holy.
You alone are worthy. You alone are worthy.
in the beauty of your holiness. I worship you, Lord, in the beauty of your holiness.
Thank you, Lord. That's a good one. I like that, Debbie. Was that the one you were talking about?
Yes. Thank you for sharing it.
All right. All right. Good night, y'all.
Good night, everybody.
I'm just going to shut it off. That's what I'm talking about.
Good night. Quick. Good night.